Good evening. I'm Jim Williams, panelist and audio engineer for the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. Normally for the open of our show, I like to throw in something comical or witty to lighten the mood. This week, however, it just would not seem appropriate. As you all know, this Sunday is the 10th anniversary of the horrific attacks of September 11th, 2001. Being that this is a wrestling podcast, I can't think of a better way to open our show than by going back to September 13th, 2001, when Vince McMahon gave the following message from a sold-out arena in Houston, Texas, at the first public event to be held since the attacks on America.
Tonight, I believe this is the first public assembly of its size since the tragedy of Tuesday. Make no mistake about the message this public assembly is sending to terrorism tonight. And that message, quite simply, is that we will not live our lives in fear. The citizens of Houston are not afraid. The citizens of Texas are indeed not afraid. And by God, the citizens of the United States are not afraid. For we are a proud people, proud of who we are, proud of our nation, and damn proud to be Americans. And we will fight. We will fight for our families. We will fight for our rights. And we will fight for our great nation. America's heart has been wounded, but her spirit shines as a beacon of freedom, a beacon of freedom that never has been nor ever will be extinguished.
History may not remember that Vince was the first to put together a sporting event or sports entertainment event of that size so quickly. But given that everybody was kind of stuck in Houston anyway, they made the most of their situation. As they had their 2 days, we have our 2 days leading up to the 10th anniversary of September 11th. But please, let's talk about something a little more current, as we are here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and my dear, dear uncle was a part of that historical broadcast. I have with me tonight two other gentlemen who have been wrestling fans at least that long. First off, a man who was deeply affected by the events of that tragic day. A man who is not that far off from where all this went down, and that would be Mr. Jason Block.
That day was... I was taking care of my grandmother, who was alive at the time, and I got a call from my father's girlfriend saying to turn on the television. And she said a plane hit the World Trade Center, and I, at the time, just had one of those feelings, and I popped the tape in the VCR. I have the first week's coverage of news on VHS VCR. And my father, who was a teacher at the time, unfortunately saw the tower fall from the roof of his school. And a couple of days later, when I was going to a store to get some dishes, I remember going on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway for dishes and saw the smoke billowing from the remains of the World Trade Center and fighter jets flying over the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. So, yeah, there was a lot to be remembered, and I still do to this day.
And our number three here tonight... somebody who I probably have not been on the show You haven't been on the show for a bit, VRM.
I was 13. When it happened, I was in band. When both planes went in, I was in band class. We had it was a 90-minute band class. We are cut off from the world in that classroom. So when we were in transit, and I got to my English class, and I noticed the TV was on, and Miss Hatton, she never has the TV on, ever. And I'm looking up, and I'm seeing the World Trade Center burning. I'm like, I think my entire class, we were just jaw-dropped the entire day. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. I knew we had class to do, but it was just a scary, scary moment. And then Wednesday, I actually, for the first time, actually was at Ground Zero. I was at World Trade Center, and it was eerie, that giant hole there. You know, I know it's been 10 years, but still, that giant hole in the skyline, I know it's being replaced, but it's just... I was getting chills up and down my spine just standing in the vicinity. This is 10 years on.
Right.
And I used to work down there for a year and a half, and I passed by that every day. So, yeah, I know.
Well, we have our fourth, and I will go ahead and let him tell his story as well, and that would be Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Unlike you two, I didn't have exactly much to do with 9/11. At the time that the towers went down, I was outside in gym class playing shuffleboard. I didn't know anything that was going on inside the building. When I got in at about 9:30, I heard murmurs and rumors that something really, really bad happened in New York City, but my science teacher at the time didn't even turn her TV on and just kept on teaching. That was kind of a pain in my you-know-what, considering I didn't know what the heck was going on, and she wouldn't let anyone know. Ultimately, I found out what happened in my social studies class that day, which was right after science, and I was kind of distraught. They didn't cancel school, they didn't do anything for my district, but yeah, we found out, and pretty much class was more or less canned for the next day and a half. That's all I've got, guys. Sorry.
Everybody has their story. At the time, I was still living in Orlando at the time, and I was working on the east side of Orlando at this conference where they were having a huge debate about Puerto Rico. During a break in the seminar itself, one of our producers made a comment about a plane hitting the World Trade Center, and it didn't compute to me. The first thing I thought was some idiot in a Cessna was flying over downtown. But the auditorium emptied. People were looking for televisions, trying to find out what was going on. So the conference was just pretty much shot at this point. We had a deaf student in there trying to find out what was going on because nobody was talking or signing to him what had happened. I didn't have a whole lot of details. All I knew was, you know, I'd heard about the second plane. I said, okay, this is serious. I didn't even know about the Pentagon or Pennsylvania until I got home, which was about 2:00 that afternoon. The creepy part was by then everybody had been grounded. Everything had been, you know, pretty much shut down. Driving across, driving through Orlando, most roads have toll booths. The toll booths were empty. There were no planes in the air. We were only 30 minutes from the airport, one of the busiest international airports in the country, outside of JFK, of course. I go home and finally get to see this on television. My roommate's asleep. She doesn't even get to see it till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon because she was working overnights. I still had a regular shift at the college that evening on the West Campus. I get to the building. The building's locked down. I call security. He says, what the hell are you doing here? I said, let me at least check my machines, and then I will go home. He says, you know, you should be home anyway. Now, I've been to Ground Zero once, and this was in 2005 when I came to New York City for one night stand.
Oh, so we actually saw the show together. I didn't know that.
I was down on the floor. Actually, if you watch your DVD, watch the triple threat. The first camera shot on the floor, once the guys leave the ring, you will see me and a friend of mine. I don't know if the cameras caught us when Super Crazy went off the balcony. Anyway, we had gone to Ground Zero, and we were taking pictures. And I was taking a picture, I believe, of the Millennium Hotel, which is just across the street from Ground Zero. Or I was taking a picture of a building right there by Ground Zero. And as I was looking up at the building, two towers were reflecting off of those windows, and it freaked the heck out of me. This was a building a couple of blocks away, but the illusion just screwed with my mind. I still have this picture somewhere. But regardless of how hard we have all tried to live a normal life since this happened, it still hits home. It's still gonna hit us, and it still needs to be, and Jason, you might disagree with me on this, the significance, the unnecessary loss of life, the sheer unadulterated violence of this day cannot remain understressed to generations down the line.
No, I'm with you totally there, by the way.
I just don't want 9/11 to turn into another Pearl Harbor Day. I really don't. To this, I will tie this all back to Jim's Open, which... Jim, thank you very much if you're listening. Because, you know, we haven't forgotten, and Dave Lagana hadn't forgotten, as he did with his I Want Wrestling broadcast earlier this week. He had several former WWE employees, including my dear Uncle Paul, on the show, asking them what they went through and how they were trying to process all of this. Among some of the other people that were on the show, JBL, Lillian Garcia, as of course I said, my Uncle Paul, one of the writers, Jason, you directed me to this podcast. What was the writer's name, and who else did I miss?
I am going to get there in just one second. And by the way, we usually do not pimp out other people's broadcasts, but you got to listen to this. This one is just a fantastic one. It is John Layfield, as you said, Lillian Garcia, dear Uncle Paul, Pete Doyle, and Tim Walbert. Pete Doyle and Walbert were directors and creative members at the time. Thing. It's about an hour listen, and it's unbelievably cool.
It's a very interesting window into the part of the broadcast we didn't get to see. The whole process, Uncle Paul and the two writers, I believe, go into detail about what Vince went through as they were watching the broadcast and how he, you know, Vince just pretty much snapped into Vince mode by the time the towers were down. So within an hour of this horrific event, Vince already knew he was going to make sure the show still went on. And not to pimp my dear Uncle Paul, but listen to it just for the story of him at the announce table with JR.
Yeah, exactly. And all the segments are very cool because JBL also goes into how this led into the Tribute for the Troops show, which he created.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very, very fascinating window into history, because at that time, no one knew what to do. If you remember correctly, all professional sports stopped. Baseball stopped. Football stopped.
Right.
For 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to make sure everything was on the up and up. And they wanted to make sure everybody would be safe. They had no idea what the freak was going on at that point. And Vince, love him or hate him, this was one of the... This actually, as you said, was one of the most historical events in the whole 9/11 pantheon. And because it's in the professional wrestling arena, people are not going to give it the credit it deserves.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate, and this, you know, this is just another thing that we can chalk up to. Yes, Vince has done a bunch of crazy and stupid crap over the years. But recently, and I'll even start there, he started making up for it. After all, he is a very generous man. He put his son-in-law in a perfect position in the company. Oh, wait.
Wait. You're talking 2001 or 2011? Wait.
Well, okay. Actually, I was going to... I should actually throw a bunch of stuff in the middle of this, but... Vince did a very good thing back in 2001 with this live SmackDown to help get the country, you know, back in the right direction. And in 2011, he realizes that the crazy old man and evil boss kind of thing just doesn't quite do it anymore, so he's letting the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, the chief operating officer, Triple H, try to handle matters. Which, on this week's War, have completely spiraled out of control. Unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of question marks, and the storyline seems to be a tad rushed. According to our sources at our new Western affiliate, KFBE, regarding Nash's firing.
Nice.
Love that. KFBE. Oh, my head hurts. Okay.
So, we got a whole bunch of signals coming in on this. Nash is fired on camera, but the last thing we see him do is jump into a car with Johnny Ace. Nash proclaims on Twitter that they couldn't come to an agreement monetarily. Which is quite believable, because the man's got a very overinflated idea of how much he's worth. If I'm going to spend the money, I can think of some better people to actually spend it on.
What are you looking at?
You're retired. But I'd spend the money on Sean if there was any way I could get him back in the ring. There was a lot of speculation that it was medically related. There's also this talk about a film. So, Statboy, I'm going to start with you. Work or shoot? Why are they doing this?
The reason that they're doing this, I believe it is a work. I know that WWE did put out the release saying WWE has come to terms on a release of Kevin Nash, but I feel that it is going to come back full circle with Ace and Nash together in cahoots trying to overtake Hunter. But only question is, does this have anything to do with Punk? And is Punk going to win next Sunday? If that happens, then pretty much Nash and Ace must be in cahoots. Otherwise, yeah, Punk's going to be going right back down a bit. I think I rambled, probably. Yeah.
No, you're fine. You're fine. VRM, work or shoot, and what do you see in this?
I am seeing a giant cluster here. I mean, first of all, we have the whole, there's like so many angles you have to look at just to even try and put the puzzle together. You know, you have the whole Nash and Johnny Ace thing. You have the Trips and Punk, the match, the stipulations to the match. Is there going to be a film? Is this a shoot firing? The problem is nobody knows except for the front office. Now, one thing that I don't know if they still put the releases on corporate, but until I see a release on corporate, I don't buy it.
Fair enough. I didn't even think of looking there.
Me neither.
Yeah, so until I see a release on corporate, which I did not see a release on corporate, I don't buy it. It's a work.
Okay.
I have a feeling, I don't know if Punk's involved in it at all, if it's some, I don't think he is, really, in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling Nash and Ace are going to conspire against both Trips and Punk here. I think they're both targets. Punk because he's going against the status quo as talent, and Trips because he's going against status quo in the office. So I'm looking at this as Ace and Nash manipulating the situation here so they get what they want. And that's where I was going with the thought.
No, they get what they want, and Hunter manages to, I think I see where you're going. Hunter manages to stay face. Punk manages to stay rebel tweener, and the two begrudgingly get to work together, which, out of character, I think Hunter's been wanting to work with Punk side by side since Survivor Series 2006. Jason, I think you can back me up on that.
You're talking about the DXCM Punk tag team match, right?
Where Punk was more over than anybody in the match.
Right.
Including DX, which was hard to do, although admittedly it was Philadelphia.
Yes. But you had a question for me?
Well, first of all, work or shoot. Second of all, do you think VRM scenario's plausible?
Oh, I think it's incredibly plausible. But let me just give you a little fickle finger of fate, a little fickle finger of fuck you to a guy by the name of Mike Johnson, a BW Insider. Because he called this episode this past week the most depressing episode in WWE history. Fuck
huh?
you, I canceled my subscription, I'm going to WrestleChat, okay? Let me just tell you something, seriously. Because everybody wants this instant gratification bullshit. It will get there in time. Everything will be okay. Just shut the fuck up and wait. Anyway,
Can I get somebody else to help you out on just how you really feel? Seriously?
Yeah, sure.
Shut your bitch ass up.
What?
Shut your bitch ass up.
Thank you very much. Exactly. Thank you, Rock. All joking aside, though, this is an absolute work. There's going to be. Johnny, VRM is exactly right. Kevin Nash are working together. Punk and Triple H will be put together as the reluctant, you know, faces that are working together, yada, yada, blah, blah, the whole nine yards. It's about as telegraphed as Western Union, you know, predictable, yada, yada. No problem there.
Okay.
We'll see.
Now, speaking of the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, since he might be having so much trouble running his company because he's got so much else on his plate. The fact that he's done a little bit of touring, he showed up on Fox and Friends the other morning to hype Inside Out and talk a little bit about what's going on in the Fed. He also had a appearance on Busted Open. And before I read this part, Jason, you can just plug your ears because I've already done this to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
Okay. The reason I'm dancing about this is because of something that Hunter said on Busted Open that sounded so familiar.
Yes. Go on. I'm plugging my ears. Go on.
Where do you go, and this is Hunter's quote, where do you go after a guy with a chainsaw? There's a certain point in time where you've heard all this stuff on TV and you got to pull it back to a point where it almost becomes sterile so that you can start touching and pushing the envelope again. And people will go, whoa! So we got it so sterile that when CM Punk said ass on TV for the first time, people went, oh my God, he said ass. Where 12 years ago, ass was being said every 4 seconds. We had to pull it back. Gee, I've heard that somewhere before. Why, right on this very broadcast, not 2 months ago.
Okay, you called it.
Sorry, guys. It had to be said. It had to be said. Ah, so let's see. Well, we've got our sources, and we seem to be dropping some sources. Did you need me, Jason? Does Mike Johnson need to go someplace?
No, he doesn't need to go there. I'm just telling him to go F you. That's all.
Okay, fair enough.
No, he doesn't need to go somewhere because, honestly, he actually had a very good opinion about something we will be talking about in the second half of the show.
All right.
Which I will actually credit him for. But for this particular piece, no, I just told him to go fuck himself. That's all.
Fair enough. Okay. Let's see, what else have I got in here? Actually, I will come back to WWE in just a second. VRM, you are the big US, one of the big UFC guys here.
Yeah, I haven't been really paying attention much to UFC since I've gotten back home.
But I know you've heard about Lesnar.
No, actually, I have not heard about Lesnar.
I have.
That's how out of sync I am right now with UFC.
Yikes.
Go for it, Josh.
Yes, talk to us, Steph.
You're talking about the upcoming match, I believe, on December 30th, UFC 143, is it?
141.
Right.
Okay. It is the one on December 30th where the main event is, or one of the main matches is going to be Brock Lesnar versus Alistair Overeem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too familiar with Alistair, but I know he's had quite a few good matches with, I'm trying to remember names, Mauricio Shogunrua. He's more or less one of the bigger guys out there. I know I'm missing somebody.
Vitor Belfort. Fabricio Verdum.
He's even faced half the Nogueira brothers. If not both of them.
Yeah, only Minotauro, actually. It looks like he's only faced Minotauro. He's faced Minotauro twice and lost both times.
But the big thing about this is that the winner of the Lesnar, Overeem fight, will fight the winner of Velasquez. De Los Santos, which is happening November 12th on Fox. So,
wow.
Didn't you say that? I thought you said that one got canceled.
No. The one that got canceled was the Nate Diaz GSP fight because Nate Diaz would not do press for the fight.
Okay.
Nick Diaz, I forget his name. And I believe the guy who's replacing him is Condit, C-O-N-D-I-T, I believe the guy's name is.
All right.
Dana White had to pull the trigger, but these first two fights on Fox, which are going to be, the first fight on Fox is going to be absolutely massively huge, which is the, you know, the world title fight for free TV, which is insane.
Heavyweight championship fight. Cain Velasquez Jr. Dos Santos, November 12th. I know what's-her-face's, Elite XC gave away a couple title matches for free, but then again, that was more because they were giving away, we've got Kimbo, and Kimbo does absolutely nothing until he busts the guy's cauliflower ear open.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
No, but this is a huge way to promote the deal with Fox, and put it to you this way. Can you imagine, for example, a Cain Velasquez Lesnar rematch in 2012 with Undertaker?
Or the promised but canceled Dos Santos versus Lesnar match?
Yeah,
from the Ultimate Fighter.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, Jason, there will be no Undertaker run-ins.
Oh, damn. Oh, I would love it, though.
If I had it, I would play that line, but...
You want to go?
Yeah, I wish I had that. All I have is this, though.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Although I would actually pay the money for a UFC pay-per-view if Lesnar won his match and Taker grabbed a microphone and called him out right then and there.
You want to go?
I would pay the $50.
but no, I mean UFC's late fall programming and winter programming is about to just go off right now. Dana is working overtime to make sure that their big splashes are happening and big fights are happening in quarter four 2012. Whoop. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I am so sorry about that. I don't know. I honestly did not expect to hear from the GM today.
Okay. So what's he got?
Well, let me see what he's got here. Oh, here we go. And I quote, "You guys are talking about all kinds of other networking stuff when you're not even talking about Vince's contribution to network television starting in 2012.
Oh, of course. Right.
With the up and coming WWE network, there's some hope that there will actually be proper content on the show, proper content to the channel, and hopefully complete content to this channel. The one thing that Vince might not have to worry about is advertising, which unfortunately does not apply to this show."
Great.
So, gentlemen, I'm sorry about this, but we are going to have to take a breather. But we will be back in just a couple of minutes. After all, we have to pay our bills, too. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the bowling chair. I have to hit you again.
On the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Football is back and Locked In is on the move. Join Jim Williams and Rob O'Connor every Thursday night for Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com. They'll preview and analyze the biggest college and pro football games of the week, tell you about everything going on at WeDon'tLose.com, and maybe even roll the tape on a play or two. Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com, every Thursday night, all season long on the CLW83 Network. Check Facebook.com/CLW83 Network for the time to tune in.
Hi, we can't tell you what we have for the new season of the CLW 83 Night Shift this fall, since we have no idea what we're doing yet. Instead, here are some of the things that we know we won't have for the new season. Stupid pet tricks, dumb viewer mail segments, Ron Howard, Howard Stern, Howard Hessman, William Peterson, Peter Marshall, Marshall Fields, Mrs. Peacock, Wombat.
The CLW 83 Night Shift, returning October 29th only on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Strawberries, Jim Williams doing the do-si-do, leprechauns rubbing peanut butter on elephants, mud wrestling, video game.
Roll the tape on this.
We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
It's actually going to be a very boring show this week. But wait!
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
Well, with that said, we should actually end the show.
Boy, LeBron, what the heck were you thinking a year ago?
And the Facebook app interface is a really good way to keep yourself relevant and to even make a few bucks off of it if you can.
Yes, I Facebooked my Twitter and then got a restraining order thereafter.
Let's boogie tonight. I'm surprised we got away with this on YouTube.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Robert Q. Seidelman, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in, the sexiest man alive.
No.
No.
And we are back. Now, we've got a couple of little things we need to take a look at before we get into our big discussion of the evening. First of all, for a quick one, Zack Ryder is finally getting the TV time that many people probably think he deserves. And he got a hell of a video package on Raw. Who caught that?
I did.
I did.
What'd you think, Josh?
Wow, that's all I could muster. I was, in the words of Matt Stryker, I was marking out, bro. I was marking out. And, to be honest, it was long deserved. After, what, 30 weeks, almost 30 weeks of the True Long Island Story, after 4 years, or actually after 2 years of being with the woo-woo-woo gimmick.
You're right.
After the situation yanked his gimmick on Twitter.
And
yeah,
you weren't alone.
This is a markout, bro.
Sorry, I had to be done.
Yeah.
Let's see. I would like to let you guys know that potentially I might not be hosting the September 23rd North American Wrestling Connection if Raw is mean enough to put Hugh Jackman and John Morrison on the TV screen at the same time. Because there will be nothing left of me.
Clean up on aisle four. Clean up on aisle four.
Whee! I'll probably be alone in that, but that's okay. But nobody gets my stuff, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Sits on hat.
Hey! Okay. One last thing before we get into the big piece. Which one of you guys told Silent Rage he had to hit the FCW naming machine?
I got a note there. It says, Andy Levine was originally known as Kevin Hackman before Tough Enough when he was in FCW.
Okay, I can't be mad about that.
Yeah, they just went back to his original name, but not his original gimmick.
Okay.
Oh, that video package was sweet. I just caught it on YouTube.
Yeah, they did Zach a huge service after, and Stat Boy's right, after the after keeping the gimmick, admittedly, I didn't think it went very. It did very well the first time on TV. But again, Zach probably just didn't have enough time to get it out there on TV. So he got it. He settled in and blew up the internet until somebody paid attention. And apparently now that they've got somebody who actually knows what the hell they're doing in their social media department, I think Zach's really got a chance. I really do.
I hope so, too. I really do.
And it's too bad he got squashed to hell and back tonight.
Not as bad as Big Zeke tonight.
This is true.
Granted. That is one other thing. Quick around the table here, and I'll start with you, VRM. Sin Cara cut a promo tonight. I won't say Ruin
Forever.
I missed it.
I was playing Space Marine.
I love your dedication, VRM. That boy. Sin Cara cuts a promo on SmackDown tonight.
Yes.
What the fuck?
They're trying to more or less differentiate Sin Cara from Huni Cara. Because you know they're going to eventually lead to it. And obviously, Huni Cara knows English, where Sin Cara does not. Yet.
Jason, am I the only one who's just sitting here scratching your head going, I don't like this?
In the words of Bumblebee Man, I, no me gusta. No. El no puede hablar inglés. He shouldn't speak Spanish. No pueden hablar, usar sus maneras de su cuerpo. Use the ways of the body. That's it. That's all you need to do. No.
I sum up my thoughts of that.
That was a tremendous storytelling.
Okay.
I'll be back in a second, all right?
Yeah, go ahead. I got an intro to do here anyway.
Okay.
Now we're going to get into some meat and potatoes, and this will be the first time in some time that I am actually going to talk about TNA for more than 2 minutes. Sadly, it's not because it's good news. Although, admittedly, you know, that we finally got Jeff Hardy his sentence for something that happened over 2 years ago. The consensus came down to 10 days in jail, $100,000 fine, and 30 months of probation. And knowing TNA, they're going to give him something all right. They're going to give him a title shot. No.
Considering the fact that they just gave Kurt Angle a 3-year extension after a DWI set, a DWI, this seems to be a status quo from them.
I have even worse news. There's a good chance he's going to win, a real good chance. Because I'm trying to locate the belt now, but there's a new Jeff Hardy belt out there.
He did another new one? Other than the purple Aztec or the white Omega, he made another one?
The white Omega is exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's Omega?
He did a white version of the purple Aztec belt, and instead of the TNA logo, it has an Omega on the forehead.
Okay, I believe that would be the one. I'm now utterly confused.
Well, just the fact that the Hardys have been whispering thoughts about actually restarting Omega since Matt doesn't have anything better to do, and Jeff Hardy should rightfully have already lost his job. But this is, and the whole Kurt Angle situation is actually just more ice cream on top of this. Dixie Carter, honestly, how much more of a freaking hypocrite can TNA be with their talent? you've got three guys who now have rap sheets. Jeff Hardy with felony possession with intent to distribute. Kurt Angle with multiple DWIs. Matt gets hit with his first DWI and they shit can him.
Kurt Angle gets hit with a third DWI and they give him a 3-year extension.
And he might have the title by the end of the year. Jeff Hardy's...
He has the title!
Yes. Yeah. That's the biggest bullshit of them all. Kurt Angle is the world title holder.
Excuse me, I've got a button to press. And it won't press.
Fire!
Shut up!
No, that isn't even the button, although that's still relevant.
Oh, hell no!
Aw.
Can we just pull the lever on TNA at this point?
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's tempting, but that's the fact that there's still, I don't know if there's any good coming out of it because I haven't watched it in almost a year.
There isn't. But it's just the inane hypocrisy on this makes, as you always said, Nikki, the mind boggles. Okay?
And go ahead.
No.
If I was Matt Hardy, I would legit be around the bend at this point. Because a couple people said, oh, well, Matt had already been suspended for being late and this, and he was a problem and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, even Bischoff crapped all over Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy does the same stupid shit. And I can prove that. Jeff Hardy doesn't own a watch. Jeff Hardy had to be dragged to events by Matt and Lita when they were still in the Fed. Jeff Hardy oversleeps and misses flights. He was an hour and a half late to an autograph signing I attended in Cleveland. So you can't tell me that Jeff is a paragon of discipline. Yet you can throw Matt Hardy out like yesterday's garbage. Bullshit, 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 and bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can quote me.
Well, you know, now again, we're all talking about, you know, Vince McMahon, for example, doing something that's really cool. And I'm going to say this again because I've mentioned this before every time we talk about wrestlers who have drug problems.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon every year sends a letter out to every employee, past and present, and says, if you need help, we'll pay for it. And people have taken him up on it, and they've saved people's lives. Dixie Carter, with all due respect, and I'm going to steal a line from you, Nikki, is an enabler.
And she doesn't, why should she take any responsibility? Half of her roster is ex-WWE guys anyway. Vince will pay for the rehab if they take it, because right now, as far as I can tell, Jeff still doesn't think he has a problem, because the only reason he took the plea, the only reason he's taking the probation and the rehab that goes in there is just keeping him out of jail. Kurt Angle doesn't think he has a problem either.
Well,
you don't see him going with... Go ahead.
Speaking of probations, I'm just reading the article from... I'm just reading about Kurt Angle's DUI, all his DUI charges, and apparently after his previous one back in March, he was sentenced to 1 year unsupervised probation, and we're still within that 1 year. Chemical dependency evaluation, $250 fine, $255 court fees, and a suspended jail sentence 10 days. Now he's busted again. Granted, he was only 0.01% over the legal limit, but it's still over the legal limit. So how badly is he fucked?
Mm-hmm.
Well, will the other place press charges now? Will that other place in, where was it, Iowa?
It was North Dakota where he was...
That incident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think North Dakota's got a case. And, you know, frankly, it's just a ridiculous mess. If this was happening in the WWE right now, none of those guys would have jobs, or at least would have been sent home on a disciplinary probation. If he hadn't been outright fired for showing up screwed up. Now, the victory, you know, we can point all the fingers we want about the Victory Road incident, but I'm sorry, if I were in charge of TNA, Jeff Hardy would not have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Angle would not have a job either.
No, and given some of the stuff that's gone on and the way he's acted on Twitter and the way he's reacted to some things that are going on in the wrestling world, I know there's going to be some crazy people that will put the money out for him. The same crazies that will hire Scott Hall and hope he shows up drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, wow. No. No, you're absolutely right. Wow, that just threw me for a loop. But you're right.
And it's going to be the same idiots that might bring Matt Hardy in. Now, especially, like I said, I think mentally he's going to be even more messed up than he is right now, trying to make sense of this situation. Because Jeff's going to go to rehab, but I said this before and I'll say it again. You can send a kid to school, but you can't make him learn. Go ahead.
Another thing relating to Kurt is his whole Olympics bit. How bad is Team USA going to just say, you're not even coming to tryouts?
Right, and the fact that he lied about trying out for UFC, because Dana White said, what? Who? Why? Really? Kurt, really? I'll take this one, Miz. Really? 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 Riley?
Randy, no.
Jimmy! No.
Yeah, right. But it all goes back to this. WWE treats itself as a multi-million-dollar corporation. TNA treats itself like a wrestling company, if you can understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Put it to you this way. TNA, here we go again. Until we have an Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit situation, they're not going to change.
No, and to be honest, if they have an Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit situation, they're going to get shut down. Because personally, I've been waiting for somebody in Orlando to call the Orange County Sheriff's Office or call the Orlando Police Department, which I have in-laws and good friends who work on their vice squad, and say, there's probably drugs in that backstage. Universal
mm-hmm.
Studios would throw their asses out if they got busted. Because as far as I can tell, Universal Studios isn't making a dime off of TNA. Then again,
no.
TNA's barely making a dime off of themselves.
Well, of course, is it like admission to the tapings part of the park admission? So, I don't know.
You just pay the $12 for parking. That's all I remember paying for to the Impact taping I attended.
But it's just sad. It's just really sad that TNA is 20 years too late to the party, if you want to look at it from a behavioral perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we remember, the party really went on for about 20 years in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Until they cleaned up their act.
Right, and even then, the cleanup really didn't start until 2005. They cleaned up a little bit in the 90s, and it was starting to slide back down that way in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Let me ask you this, though. I'm going to ask you this. Do you think that if, say, a John Cena or a Triple H or somebody of that high quality was caught in the same situation that they were in, there would be a different result?
I would hope not. But unfortunately, we have a perfect example in Randy Orton. Because as far as I know, he has two strikes and a disciplinary, which personally I think should have been his third strike. Because having to put a hotel into lockdown because you were harassing the staff, and I don't know if this was the same weekend, but trashing said hotel room is unacceptable behavior for a main eventer. There's no excuse for that. You can call it my bias if you want, but I'm sorry. I honestly think that kind of behavior not only got him the suspension, but also cost him his chance of being a world heavyweight champion at WrestleMania 22. So yeah, way to screw up your legacy early on there, Randy.
Baby oil.
I've got Seidelman hanging on the line here for a second, guys. Let me mind if I pull him in?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Mr. Seidelman, you have been patiently waiting. What can I do for you?
Well, seeing as I've been listening to the show, I decided to do a little bit of research and concocted quite a few notes, as it were. Mainly having to do one topic. Quite a few things have been bugging me ever since 2005, or late 2004, early 2005, when Panda Energy bought 65% of TNA.
Okay.
Just to keep it afloat. And Bob Carter put Dixie in charge. Although they have made some money, it probably isn't enough for it to be justifiably in profit. Like, let's say it's a $5 million company and it makes made $50,000 profit.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably just enough to refurbish a ring or a few cameras and microphones for pay-per-view purposes on the road, and that's about it.
$50K might get you a camera. Might. But go on.
Matt Hardy's, no, I'm sorry, that'd be a cruel joke. Catering
Matt
for
Hardy's
Matt
already,
Hardy for a week.
Well, Matt Hardy is right now the butt of a very cruel joke when it comes to TNA's hiring and firing policies. But
actually, on that note, I would like to point out that 99% of TNA cheered when Matt Hardy was released, saying that finally we could actually eat. But anyways, that's not why I called in. What I called in is, for years of blithering stupidity, nauseating know-nothingness, and imbecilic, well, ignoring of problems and whatnot, and being a mark for herself and hardly anybody else.
Except Vince Russo.
No. Oh, that's probably the biggest problem. She doesn't treat this company like what it should be treated as, a business. If they're not doing the job, get rid of them. She refuses to get rid of anybody and all that fun stuff. So, I rarely do this, also calling in, but I'm issuing a rare executive order. For all of her stupidity over the past 6 years, ignoring drug problems, ignoring alcohol problems, personnel problems, ignorance problems, production problems, Hulk Hogan problems, which, by the way, will be ending in October because I doubt that the contract will be renewed because it ends at around Bound for Glory time, so.
And after not talking about TNA when he did have a recent appearance, that's a pretty big red flag in my direction, but go ahead.
Yes. So, sorry to impersonate your favorite person in the world, Keith Olbermann, I declare Dixie Carter the worst person in the world today. To which I say, Nikki, yank the handle.
Yes. Drop her.
Do I have a second on that?
Oh, you got
yes.
the second.
Yes. Yeah.
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dixie Carter gets to go sit next to Michael Epping Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're 100% correct. She has been given orders to trim the fat. She goes out and hires people. She has amazing talent already under her roof. She goes out and gets a bunch of has-beens, wannabes, and never-wills, and spends too much money on stuff that doesn't matter. She's hanging on to a writer who does not have proper filtering, because Russo can be good if you've got somebody to stand there and tell him how half of his stuff is going to be stupid. And the other half is going to require some tweaking, because otherwise it's all crap. Some people blame Dutch. I think Dutch was doing okay.
Actually, that's one point I forgot to bring up, Nikki.
Dutch?
Dutch. If you want to take a look, you know, cheap plug time, but if you want to hear about his experiences in TNA, two ways you can do that. One, by Dutch's book, which is, I heard it's a good read. And two, the kayfabe commentaries thing that he did for rewriting history or guest bookers sort of thing. His goal, rebooking the 1-4-10 Impact.
To be honest, I would trust the number threes of the internet wrestling community, the knee-jerkers that all of us would rather not see on the internet, could have booked that show better.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst scattershot things. But it's not about a booking problem, Rob. It's what this is, and VRM and Josh... I've overshadowed this, and I apologize. But this all is all about a personal thing. It's about an attitude. They would rather make money than see these people get help. That is it. They would rather see them high. Okay? That's what they would do. High, drunk. I mean, come on. Did you honestly believe... I mean, anybody who saw that TNA speech with Jeff Hardy, good Lord, that was pathetic.
I didn't see it, and I refused to donate ratings to TNA for it. because I really didn't care. He supposedly went out there and apologized, and he asked for one more chance, and yada, yada, yada bullshit. Dude, as soon as you're done with your probation, you're going to celebrate with a coffee can full of hydrocodone.
Wow.
And that's my dig from the can of hydrocodone they used to bust him 2 years ago.
By the way, 2 years ago, Sunday, ironically enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. There's so many things that I could say on that, but I'm not going to, out of respect for 3,000 other people.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things, you shake your head. You shake your head at this. I mean, mm-hmm. Josh, I mean, do you ever think that they can make a positive business decision?
TNA?
No! I have a good idea. Dixie, if you're listening, I got $5 in my pocket. I'll buy DNA off of you. Hell, I can make it back in about 2 minutes, which is taking you, what, 10 years to make that money?
Damn. Personally, I think Vince is waiting for the bottom to fall out of it. And then he'll just cherry pick the 5 or 6 people that might actually be worth a damn.
AJ Styles.
Christopher Daniels, Robert Roode,
Beer Money. Here's how you rebuild the tag division: Motor City Machine Guns, Beer Money, Samoa Joe.
By himself taking over the tag team division. I'll buy it.
You know, AJ Styles.
Yeah, South Daniels.
Yes, please.
The Phenomenal Angels.
The Phenomenal Angels, the Motor City Machine Guns, Beer Money, Samoa Joe.
Mexican America.
No.
No, I want LAX if we're going to do that.
Eric Young with somebody?
No.
No.
No, I'm trying to pick the good people, okay?
Eric Young is good.
I'm saying, let's
play this scenario out for a little bit, Rob. Talking about,
okay.
let's say TNA folds, as Nikki thought it would, but the way things are going, her prediction may be right, it's just a question of when. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of the TNA roster right now, who would you bring over to WWE? Seriously. I'm gonna play this out because I think it's a very interesting point.
I want to set number though of how many people I realize nobody's gonna say everybody.
No,
I have the current roster up right now.
And how many are there?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six. 20, give me a couple seconds.
Damn it, I keep losing my place. 46, 63. I have 65 total, and that also includes announced announcers.
Does that include also that includes all the champions?
It should, if this is set up the same way, yeah.
I'm
it's
telling
pretty much
52 wrestlers. 52.
Yeah. I'm looking at it on a. On
although
Wiki
you
right
count.
Now. No, I've got.
I'm using
IW. I'm using TNA's actual site.
Right. I'm using TNA.
I'm using Wiki.
And I've got 65, but that also accounts. That also accounts for announcers, which, to be honest, I think they would benefit from grabbing. Tene and Hector.
What about having Taz back?
No.
Taz won't come back. I think Taz won't come back. I would love to have him back, but didn't he kind of grouse about the fact that he kept getting screamed at in his headset? Not just,
yeah.
I know Foley did.
Taz was like the same way.
Okay.
All right, so looking at the male
the male half of the roster, or male 5/6 of the roster, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, you got AJ, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Abyss, do we really need another Kane character?
No.
I hate to say it, he's a Kane Mankind crossbreed, and we don't need either one at this point. So, no offense to him, I wouldn't take him.
And wait 2 years when Kane retires, then we could take him.
Yeah.
Right. Motor City Machine Guns, we need him.
Yeah. Anarchia.
Wow. Go back to W.
Yeah, I don't know enough about him. I can't comment.
I don't know. I don't know who Anthony Nese is. Austin Aries.
He's a Ring of Honor guy, and he's really good.
But would the Fed take him?
I don't know.
Hmm.
That would be something that I think that they would take him. I don't know if they would take him, but that would be a question they would probably turn around and talk to Punk and Side Al and say, hey, you've worked with this guy. What do you know about him? So I'd put a question mark on Aries.
All right. Bobby Roode, Beer Money, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spanky.
Drug issue, no.
He had drug
issues. 3D.
Bully Ray.
Here's the thing about 3D. They wanted to stay in 2005. They were willing to take 50% around a 40 to 50% pay cut to work the fewer days, train people in OVW or Deep South, and help bring up, help put over tag teams, new upcoming tag teams. One of those tag teams, M&M.
Ohio Valley. Yeah.
Well, the other thing I heard was that at one point, that they wanted, when they tried to go back, that they wanted Devon, but they wouldn't touch Bubba, so neither one would go back.
Yeah.
Because that's a package deal. I think they would take. I think they would take the Dudleys back. I don't know if they would use them on TV on a regular basis, but I would love to. I think Bubba would make an awesome road agent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Devon, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to keep going on the list. So,
oh, sorry. Go ahead. Let's keep going.
No, you finish first. You finish first.
Okay, Devon's also definitely, if he's not a road agent, he's got to be a trainer. He's running his own school in my hometown, all the way down in Melbourne, Florida. He's actually got a school down there.
All right, so Saban, Guns, yes.
Yes.
Daniels,
they won't take him for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
He's starting up years.
Yeah, because isn't Daniels pushing 40?
He is 40.
Even so, he's one of the best in the business.
Plus, he's also got a bunch of injuries. So I don't think WWE would touch him because of that. Remember, they rejected Nigel because of the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, if he could pass the physical, I think they would take him because they could probably still get 3 years. They could get 3 to 5 years out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Would they take back Burke?
Who?
Elijah Burke,
the Pope.
I say they would, if they look at some of his early stuff as Pope. They might not use the character, but they cannot deny the man's mic skills.
Can you imagine put it to you this way? D'Angelo and R-Truth is sort of a conspiracy tag team.
Oh God!
Oh, I'd love that. That you too.
Love that.
I think I can sum that up for everybody here. Shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Devon, we already mentioned. Doug Williams?
Nah. Crimson? Nah. Eric Bischoff? Hell no. Eric Young? Unfortunately, hell no.
You already have one Duke of character over there in Santino. We don't need another one.
Oh, Eric Young, yeah.
Yeah. Gunner?
I don't know enough about him.
Yeah. I do.
That's Universal Soldier Phil Shatter, so...
Oh! I don't know if they take him. He's tight with the Hardys.
Not necessarily.
Not entirely, no.
I'm just saying, I know he was fairly tight with the Hardys, because he, judging from their Twitter stuff, when he was running under Shatterbrand. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but he's pretty much distanced himself from the Hardys, so I think he will be fine. He's a great talent. He is somebody you could easily put in your mid-card, give you 10, 15 minutes worth of pay-per-view match, 5 to 10 minutes worth of TV match, and he can help elevate people and help elevate, you know, programs. So I'd hire him.
Okay.
I'd
make an exception for Hector Guerrero. I really think they should bring him back in. Vince would take him back in a heartbeat, I think.
Yeah.
Green Man commentary booth, Hugo Savinovich, Carlos Cabrera, and Hector Guerrero.
Yep.
Well, one of the regulars for the Spanish announce table wasn't at the last pay-per-view, so I know they're looking for another Spanish commentator.
Perfect fit.
Mm-hmm. Hernandez, no. Hogan, yeah.
Okay, wait,
Hernandez,
why not Hernandez?
Only Hernandez if they can get Homicide back. If they can get Homicide back, then I take Hernandez. That way we have LAX. We have another tag team.
Okay, I'm just saying, okay. Hernandez is a freaking hoss. I think I'm surprised they haven't just thrown money at him.
He's a big boy. Yes,
his muscles are as big as my head.
Yes. Okay, Hogan. Enough said. Jackie Moore.
No.
James Storm. Part of Beer Money. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy, hell no.
No.
10-foot pole, no.
Who?
Jeff
Ten
Jarrett.
10-foot pole.
Jeff Jarrett.
No. Jeff
wouldn't go.
Right.
No.
Jerry Borash. You know what? I like JB. I really do.
JB and Joey Styles working behind the scenes would be a really good asset.
Right.
Yeah.
The internet. They're in the production without winning the actual production.
I would, but see, that's the thing. That's what I dig about it. JB knows his stuff when it comes to the online thing, and that is one thing that WWE has had such a hard time with. Only now are they really getting the hang of the social network stuff. Go ahead.
Whereas Borash. God, I mean, how interactive was he, on house shows, Nikki? I mean, you've probably gotten great pictures with him, talked to him, picked his brain over, 4 or 5 years of house shows that TNA has done?
Well, he's always interacting with the fans, on and off. He had a thing going on with house shows and, you know, away from the Impact Zone events, where he got on Twitter and said, hey, if first person to this seat gets a backstage pass.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody happened to catch him on Twitter, they look what they get for it. So, bingo, you get 200 more followers when they find out, well, hey, where'd you get that backstage pass? You don't follow Jeremy Borash on Twitter. Boom, 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 boom. Him and Styles could completely revamp .com. Because the revamp that they recently did sucks. No offense. I think it sucks.
Yeah, they're still good 3 years behind.
But we'll get there. Back to the list. I say they would take Jesse Neal just on his background.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they could train him properly.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
The next one that I see of in the alphabetical order who I would take, just looking at it, is Matt freaking Morgan. From the stutterer to the blueprint. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would bring him over gimmick and all, and if he if he's improved to that point, I'd walk him right into a B-belt as an apology for the damn stuttering gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has greatly improved. I mean...
I'd give him the Santino Marella debut then. I want him to walk in, kill somebody, and walk out with a B-belt.
Crush Cody Rhodes' mask in one carbon footprint. 1, 2, 3. New Intercontinental Champion.
Exactly. Mickie James would go back, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think she would.
Yeah, because two of her biggest problems are gone in Michelle McCool and Layla.
Yeah.
Number one, number two, with the anti-bullying campaign in place, they will not do any more stupid shit like that.
Good.
But the Bellas are still doing that, though.
Yeah.
Not as severely as Lay Cool was doing it.
Yeah.
I think they might pick up Tanae. I don't know if they would use him on screen a lot. Although personally, I would rather have him doing play-by-play than Michael F. and Cole.
I could actually see a commentary team of Josh Matthews, Mike Tanae, and Booker T on SmackDown every Friday.
I could take that.
Anderson, I don't think would go back. I don't think Anderson would go back.
I don't think they would touch him.
No, he's made of glass. He is the male Candice Michelle.
Let's see. They might pick up ODB. She was actually in developmental. I met her at OVW.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought. Yeah, she was in both. Dang.
Yeah, I met her in OVW, and it was within a couple of months of that she got a call from Orlando because she wasn't under contract. So she's like, "Well, shit, I'm going to be on TV. I'm out."
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
This is hard for me to say. I would say no to Madison Rain.
Huh? Yeah,
I don't even see her on here. Oh, there
yeah,
she is.
She's right next to Kurt Angle.
She better start running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they would pick her up. I mean, I know her. I got to see her work at IPW. I know that she was a Shimmer tag champ with Nevaeh.
Yep.
She's good. But if they
take her,
she needs to go to developmental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they take her. Let's see. They won't touch Ric Flair, even though he will beg and plead to go back in just to get the money to clean up his mess. Rob Terry's a hoss. Tag him with put him with Mason Ryan.
There you
just
go.
Make a monster tag team since we don't have Show and Kane right now.
Mm-hmm.
RVD won't go back.
No. Yeah, RVD is living too much of the good life.
He's not living the good life. He's living the high life, brother.
I'm going to make it go to there, but you made it go the rest of the way.
He's with that black actor who's living the high life with Miller in that fair commercial.
Oh, you mean Bruce Jingles? Oh, wait. No, he's tight with a black comedian out that way, and I think they're both well-suited to the high life.
Are they both gardeners, in other words?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of course, Samoa Joe.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Book him like the monster fucker that he is. You know, just, have him crush everybody and then lead it to a Joe Cena match, which would just, mm-hmm. like, you
okay,
know.
Okay, you just broke the internet.
Yes, or a Joe Punk match. How's that?
There you go.
The IWC is dying.
Here's a little insight. Sorry, here's a little insight. If Joe wants to quit TNA, just imagine how many people would call him like 2 hours after the news broke and say, "Dude, come up north. Six figures. Healthcare."
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Program with Punk.
No, I mean, because if you remember when, before Joe re-signed, a lot of people said, come up north, if you remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years
and
ago.
I still haven't figured out why he didn't go.
Maybe it's because he was actually being used in TNA back then, 2008, 2009.
Well, try this on for size, though. Remember also, Umaga, may he rest in peace, was still alive.
True.
I don't think he may have wanted to have been used as sort of the stereotypical Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
Although, admittedly, he had his perfect out when he got kidnapped by ninjas.
Yes.
Let's see.
I would like to go back one.
Okay.
Divina Vly / Rosita may have a job with the WWE down the line, because remember, she's only 21. She's got a big future ahead of her, you know, if her cards play out right. And they release Rosa Mendez.
Now that I think about it, I'm surprised she did not end up under spring cleaning.
Yeah.
So, let's see. They will not touch Scott Steiner. He is too old and is
not very mobile. And also, he should be put on the list with Tracy Smothers as people you don't let a live mic near.
Give me a fucking mic! Oh, sorry.
Shannon Moore, part of the Omega crew?
No. Good night.
No.
They won't take him just for that, which is a shame, because unfortunately he's the only one who seems to have his head on straight. Helms
Sting,
is close. Go
Sting?
On.
Yes. I believe that.
Sting, he's going to want two things. A Legends deal and a guarantee that they're not going to make him heel.
Yep, and I bet you that WWE will eventually give both to him. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter
of when. Yeah.
Possibly WrestleMania 30.
Oh, can you imagine a Sting Undertaker? Oh, God.
Ooh, don't do that.
It's not going to happen. I can guarantee you that right now, because I think Undertaker, he's going to go 20-0 and he's going to call it a career.
That's wishful thinking on my behalf, then.
Unfortunately, yeah, because his shoulders, his shoulder, his knees, his hip. I mean, if he's not retired now, he might show up for the 20-0, and even then, I don't know what kind of match he's going to be able to put on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who's playing Suicide these days?
Okada.
He's going to go back to Japan.
Okay. Yeah.
Tara would go back, too.
Yes, I think she would.
Yeah. Either as a non-screen character or a trainer.
Now, we skipped SoCal Val. I don't think they would take her because she's more eye candy, and I don't believe she's trained.
You're correct on both counts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she's cool. I've met her. She's awesome to talk to, and I actually worked with her at a show at Jimmy's.
She would be more manager-esque.
And by the way, one of the nicest people you ever wanted to work with.
Oh. Yes.
And
by the way,
if
they do bring her on, I said bring her on as a manager, but you also got to sign two. You gotta make her. You gotta make her a heel tag team to go along with her. You could easily bring in. God, I'm trying to think who could play slovenly love bastards in WWE right now. Or in
Johnny
TNA
Curtis
right now.
And Johnny Curtis and who?
Eric Bateman.
There you go.
Yeah. No, you gotta have a big guy.
Eli Cottonwood. Oh wait.
No. I'm talking about a big guy.
Big E Langston, aka Mirror Man.
Let's look at Brodus Clay.
There you go. Because Nikki knows what I'm talking about. Nick, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, somewhat. Because you have, because her tag team that she managed for FIP, Full Impact Pro, which was like an ROH offshoot,
yeah,
and by the same people, she led probably the biggest tag team there, the Heartbreak Express.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Okay. You had one skinny guy and you had one big fat guy. Both of them know how to work and could garner immense heat.
Okay, so having her manage...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, okay, fine. Then I want her to manage Brodus Clay and Seth Rollins.
You just want to piss off Trista more, don't you?
If she listens to this broadcast, I apologize to her in advance, but I'm trying to get him on TV.
No, you're not. You're not sorry.
I'm trying to get him on TV, honest.
All right, that works.
Okay.
Or if you really want to get somebody on TV, how about Dean Ambrose?
He can get himself. He's going to get himself on TV. I see him crashing a match.
Well, all I'm saying right now is that TNA, getting back to the original point of this in the archives here, TNA can be picked of its best talent.
Mm-hmm.
If WWE wanted to, when the carcass happens, you know?
Yeah, because right now Vince won't touch it. And I honestly think a lot of people say, oh, it's because he doesn't consider this group as competition. Mm-hmm. It's more that he sees everything I'm sure he knows even more about what's going on in this company than even we do. And he doesn't need that on his books.
Yeah.
He does not need, he is not going to spend the money on this place. He is not going to have he's not going to have them drag him down. And to be honest, right now there is really no investment potential in it for him except for that handful of talent that we suggested that he pick up and maybe a small portion of the video library.
No, he should take the video library, the whole damn thing.
No, he'll take it all, but there's a very small percentage of that would ever see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
Impact from 2004 to 2008.
I'd take it, but then again, I also will do that in a moment of sheer unbridled arrogance for all my FaceTime at Bound for Glory 06.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, Vince isn't going to touch it. He's going to wait till this whole thing collapses in upon itself like he did with ECW and WCW so he can pick it up. He paid pennies on the dollar for both.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. He could get away with buying TNA for a cheap fortune. As you said, $5, I'll join in the pot, okay?
Yeah, I'll throw in 10. I just want to be I want to fix the booking.
Yeah. Okay. Now you got the wheels going through my head because remember how I told you my ideas for TNA in the past, Nikki?
Yeah, I have. I do recall, but I'll tell you. Go ahead.
I'm going to do 5 quick things to help run everything smoothly again. Or smoother than it was in the past.
Fire Russo, Angle, Jeff Hardy, Mr. Anderson, and... okay.
No, these are more serious ones. One, streamline your names. I mean, you have your show on Spike called Impact Wrestling, but what are they called on the pay-per-views?
They're still called TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. Change the name to Impact Wrestling Presents... Against All Odds or something, but make some simpatico. I guarantee you they're probably losing about 2,000 to 3,000 pay-per-view buys just because nobody can know what the damn names are for the pay-per-view.
Personally, I just think they're losing 2,000 to 3,000 buys to the streams because nobody in their right mind would pay them $35 for their pay-per-view.
Bingo.
That brings me to point number two. You lower the cost of the pay-per-views.
Well, that goes for both bets, personally.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
For your SD feed, $25. For your HD feed, $30. How does that sound for everybody?
Okay.
In this down economy?
Yeah.
There you go. We're going to slash prices. So, and here's what it does. It helps bring in the people who wanted to check out TNA pay-per-views but didn't want to because of the price point. You lower the price point for HD and SD, you will get more people checking them out.
Mm-hmm.
Point three, revamp your set. I'm sorry, but I think TNA set looks like a dump.
I liked some of their earlier sets. I also liked the split entrances for faces and heels, although a lot of fans didn't get that.
Right, and I personally liked the 05 to 07 set, which is what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I would make a set somewhat akin to what Nitro had, like in 95 to 98. That type of set, just a small set, just a small entrance ramp, and you put your announced people where normally they are in about 97% of wrestling shows.
Close to the ring.
Bingo.
Now I'm just gonna interject that when I went to the Impact tapings, they are a lot closer than what it appears on TV.
Right.
No, they are not inside the guardrails. But, for all intents and purposes, they're essentially about the same distance as, say, 8 or 9 rows back on the floor. It's not like they can't see what's going on. It's not like Raw was back in 03 to 05 when they took the announce table and put it up at the top of the ramp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that. I hated that.
It didn't feel right.
No, and well, I think Jim Ross even commented about that on the air, that it just didn't feel right. Either, you know, right after they did it or right after, you know, right when they finally got to go back to ringside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be a minor change at best. They, you know, if they were going to move them at all. They're on they've got a table set up if you're standing on the ramp facing the entranceways, it'd be to your left, and it's on a raised platform, so the seats on that side do not obstruct their views. Of course, they've got monitors, but still, they can they can watch the action as it happens instead of using a monitor.
Right.
So, but go on.
Number four, I want to streamline the talent roster. I'm talking about cutting your roster by 25%.
Which I think all of us would readily do. Because
yeah.
I can think of 10 people I could cut off that roster right now.
I got 15.
Yeah. Same idea. So go on.
Yeah. Name people, 5 big names I would cut. Kurt Angle is gone. Mr. Anderson is gone. Hulk Hogan gone. Who else do I got here? Ric Flair's gone. You don't need him anymore. And a person who's on TV every week but is sapping a lot of money, Chrissy Hemme, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I can't just justify a ring announcer being paid $150,000 a year.
Especially when the working knockouts are not even making enough money to cover their trans.
around 600 in appearance.
Right, and that barely barely covers your flight.
Yeah. To and from plus hotel.
Which hopefully I would think that, you know, I would think that one or two of the gals actually live locally, but then again, this is Orlando. You can't afford, if you're making about $1,400 a month working for them, you still can't get a decent apartment in Orlando. I'll tell you that right now.
You need at least $2,500 a month.
Anyway, listen, I'm going to head off. But by the way, as a nerd alert, it will be 6:07:08 on 9:10:11 sometime today, at least twice.
I'll be conscious for the PM rendition.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
have a good night, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Night, Jason.
Right, take care.
Night.
As we have gone horrendously over time and budget, but the whole TNA situation really did need to be examined, because this company has been run so back asswards that I haven't figured out how they've stayed afloat, short of the fact that Panda Energy and Spike are footing the bills, and if they cannot maintain or increase their ratings once UFC moves, I think Spike, in the process of their rebranding, is going to give them the boot. So I hope that some of the pencil pushers in TNA's offices, even if it's just Jarrett, they need to start looking now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spike could cut them at any time.
Right. And one of the 15 people who started to cut would be Taz.
Yeah.
It's my understanding he's been pretty much phoning it in at the table.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do one of two things. One, either put Borash in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, and I might get booze for this, put Don West back at the table.
No.
Oh, dear.
No.
No. I'll let him, he can stay with the freaking shop. I will find money and go get Scott Hudson before I put Don West back at the table.
Well, you're going to have to pay him a lot, because Scott Hudson wouldn't need quite a bit.
There was a reason that we threw Don West in the room 101.
Yeah. We didn't throw Don West. Oh, did we throw Don West in?
Yeah, we did throw Don West.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, he was one of the first.
Yeah, he went in real quick. And unfortunately, you know, I hate to say it, but by the end of the year, I'm this close to throwing the whole company in there.
Mm-hmm.
I put that suggestion up earlier. Like, at least we got Dixie in.
Well, because she's part of the problem, really.
Say she's about 50% of the problem.
Well, if we could drop Russo, if we could drop Hogan, if we could drop Flair, I would almost keep Bischoff because he does have a good eye for production. But
that's
I would not keep
Bischoff.
Yeah,
out of the 15, he would not make the list.
I just wouldn't put him. I'm not going to put him in front of the camera unless I absolutely have to.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, if we were in the process of rebooking and rebranding, I might need him to stick around on camera for a couple of months, and then we either phase him out or make him just a limited figurehead a la Teddy Long. Not face, just let it run. And just go out there and clean it up here and there. You know, clean things up here and there. But, you know, I don't know. So, gentlemen, we have gone a full 45 minutes over our time.
And I haven't even gotten to 0.5 yet.
Well, you better get it in quick, because BTR is going to kick us off. If not, I'm surprised Carl hasn't come on my IM and said, aren't you guys done yet?
Okay, 0.5. Really quickly, more stuff outside the impact zone. I mean, you could talk to arenas that could give you good discounts, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000-seat arenas. It could bring and just hire people from outside to help do vending and all that stuff. Sure, you might spend a little money, but you'll be building relations and getting the community involved in doing this show.
Not to mention you're getting away from the usual rabble of idiots in the impact zone.
Oh, yeah. And I could think of 13 cities to do small shows, to do impact shows in about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000-seat arenas, and you'll have 20, and just circle around those 13 twice for impact taping.
But if you're going to do
it,
you
more, ask me online.
There you go. I was going to say, on top of this, advertise. Word of mouth doesn't work anymore. You have to advertise.
Bingo.
Because that's what's killed the shows in India. It's killed two attempts to work in Indianapolis. I didn't even know about a Columbus show till like 2 days before, and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think we have thoroughly pounded TNA into the mat, but congratulations, TNA. I talked about you guys for almost a full hour.
Almost? You did.
And my apologies for hijacking anything.
Shit happens.
It happens, man. And, you know, you came on because you had something important to do, and trust me, we were more than happy to help you pick up Dixie Carter and throw her ass into Room 101.
Right.
But, gentlemen, we need to get out of here before we break BTR. And that would piss a lot of other people off.
Well, I sort of broke it last night, full 4 hours.
That's a bit much. And come to think of it, I had a hard time just getting to call in here. I think BTR was mad. I called in and I got a voicemail saying, you'll need to try BTR. You'll have to try calling into BTR host too. If that doesn't work, here's another phone number that we probably won't pick up on.
Okay.
So,
all right, let's get out of here.
So, gentlemen, yeah. I think we need to call it here. I'm glad I don't have to be anywhere tomorrow, and I'm guessing nobody else here does either.
Nope, just have to watch the Toledo get their hopes and dreams crushed tomorrow.
Ouch.
Fuck me.
At the DJ Peckins Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes. That's where DJ is. That's where DJ is going to be, and that's why he couldn't make it this week.
Yeah, he's going to watch Ohio State kill Toledo, and I'm going to be a sad man. And so should he.
That reminds me, Josh. I might need you next week. You and VRM can arm wrestle over who wants to do pick'ems for Night of Champions.
1, 2, 3, I win.
Come to think of it, VRM dropped, so you win.
No, I'm not.
You are. I'm sorry, man. You were just awful quiet.
Yeah, I'm...
Yeah.
Hey, it happens, VRM.
So, gentlemen, thanks again. This was a very good show. We got a lot done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do this again. We're going to do this again next week, hopefully with about 60% less TNA.
Considering
or
the
like
WWE pay-per-view week,
TNA.
Duh, it will happen.
Oh, yeah. Because, by the way, we're ignoring the fact that they're having a pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be a 10 by 1,500 buys.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing something else on Sunday. I've got my national pride to think about, plus I need to raise a toast in honor of my dear Uncle Paul's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have
Paul
about,
watch.
Yeah, exactly. We have about 9 hours, 12 hours worth of football that needs watching.
Even better. We will do that. So, gentlemen, good show. Let's get out of here.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Night, all.
Night.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.